Tommy. Hey, man, we're gonna get going. Tommy. Scotty, do you think this dude is even showing up?
It just might be technical difficulties. I don't know. Who knows?
What is up with this guy? Summer comes along and he goes feral. He should know that as Bada Beetles, we run like the trains. Like the trains in Japan.
He's a wild child though, yeah.
He really is, so. Well, if he's not coming, I've kind of prepared for this day, you know.
Oh, I
figured this was coming, so let me boot up the Tommytron 3000. You know, give me a second because it's running Windows number nine.
You've got mail.
Anyways, I fed this computer about 10,000 hours of just Tommy droning on and on. And so, I don't know. I feel like AI can give us some sort of approximation of what he would do for an intro. Should we try it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, my guys. What is going on? The boys don't know it, but I'm going on Jay Leno this week with my solo Blotto Beatles stand-up routine. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to just share a few things that I'm workshopping here. If I could just say a few words, well, then I'd be a better public speaker. As you know, I'm the star of this podcast where we talk about this pretty cool underground band called the Beatles. Well, actually, only about half of them are underground at the moment. What did Ringo order for his last drink before going sober? A twist and stout. Huh. Why do flat earthers hate the Beatles? Flat earthers? Because the world is round, it turns them off. What is Paul McCartney's favorite social media site? Reddit. B. What did George Harrison say to his guitar while it gently weeped? Don't fret. What is John Lennon's favorite time? 9:10. That's 9:10. My kid came up to me the other day and said, Dad, what's your favorite Beatles lyric? I looked at him and said, Son, 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 here it comes. He looked at me like I was an idiot. And then he says, Dad, how's your Beatles record collection coming along? I said, Son, I need help. That's about all the time I have for tonight. Thanks for having me on. Don't tell the guys.
Oh, that's a pretty good AI.
Oh, hey guys. Hey, what, Scotty, we need to really oil the door on the virtual studio here. Can you get on that, please?
It was a little creaky.
What was going on when I walked in, guys?
I'm here for the podcast.
Everything's
great. I'll tell you
what
thing.
You made it.
Yeah, Becker actually told me come in 5 minutes later tonight. anything happening? He said he needed a little more time to prep.
But we're ready to get
ready to go.
Nothing funny.
Nothing funny at all. Perfect. So, I know we're tight on time. Should we just skip my intro for tonight? You think? I mean, it has been a great day in Beatles. Oh, you want to just do it later? Okay, we'll just do it later. All right, let's get right into it.
Good evening, my Blotto Scruffs. Thanks for plugging us back into your head for a special recording tonight. We're both on a school night and reaching out across many time zones to make that sweet, sweet, cockeyed content you look to us for. I'll tell you, there's a place I go to after every episode, and it's typically straight to bed, so we'll see how this one goes. Welcome back to Blotto Beatles, celebrated the world over as the leading groggy gallants of Beatles broadcasting. I'm Becker. You've entered episode 68. And as a reminder, we are the podcast where a couple of friends have a couple of drinks and come together to discuss and rank a single Beatles song. As I said, we're straddling a few time zones, and if we go long, as we did last time, we'll be greeting the sun with this guest tonight. And we're all excited to get him back and give it just sort of one more minute. We'll let you in on who we're hanging out with tonight. But, you know, I'm never alone for this show, although I think about that quite often. I'm very jealous about tonight's guest and the fact that he doesn't have any, co-workers. But all things said, for intros, I'm on a gimmicks at the moment, so let me just start by sincerely, and I'm saying sincerely, I wrote it down, but I mean it sincerely, iterating that I have the absolute pleasure of having a program that you dear listeners tune into, But I get to do it with one of my absolute best buds and actually really one of the best humans that I know. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, my friend, the feeling is reciprocated tenfold.
You know, we say it all the time. It's like,
yeah,
we're still friends. We do this pod and it takes up so much of our friendship. I'm like, hey, man,
I know.
How are you doing?
Doing all right. I'm good. Things are all right. Well, actually, I'm going through a rough time, but we gotta
keep rolling.
All right, we'll keep going. All right, sorry.
He puts the dude in producer. We call him Eddie Better, but you know him as the George Martin of New Eddie England. <Better. laughs> That's executive producer Scotty C. What's up, my bud?
Hey.
And don't you worry, this show is recorded under the exacting musical supervision of my friend and yours. You know I'm talking about RB. That B always stands for Beatles, but tonight it stands for Blue?
Blue.
This is the second shortest song on Please Please Me by just a hair, but with tonight's guests, I suspect it's not going to be our second shortest episode, so we shook him out of bed for this one, so I'm going to get right to it.
Let's get to it.
Guys, what can I say about tonight's guest that I haven't said before? When I was sort of initially exploring Beatles podcasts, when we were talking about this, his is one of the first ones that I cracked into, and I was just so happy to find sort of like fun and knowledge and all of it wrapped up together, although it was a little heavy on the Paul at the time, but, you know, this man is truly a jack of Paul trades. He's British. He's witty. He's a gentleman and a podcaster. Please join me in welcoming the legendary Sam Wiles of the Paul or Nothing Podcast.
Goodness. Hi, everyone. Hello.
Sam, how are you? Thank you for coming back with us.
Welcome back, Sam.
We should tell the listener that it is past midnight where you are. It's almost 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we've been doing the preamble for nearly an hour now.
Yeah.
I'm just laughing to myself.
Too long?
I thought your intro then was just going to be, he's British, he's Sam Wiles, everyone.
I mean, sure. You know, I will say
that
sort of you
clout.
Yeah, you British podcasters are really sort of surfing on your accents. You know, like you are beating us 50% just on accent alone.
I sound more legitimate because of where I was born. It's not fair, but that's...
Yeah,
the privilege is evident.
But also, it's not fair because in my country, Paul's not nearly as respected and loved and listened to as much as he is in yours. So,
really?
Is that true thing?
The grass is always greener, my friend. Yeah, Paul's way bigger in America. Even like proportionally, not even like just numbers, proportionally more people listen to Paul. He's way more successful over there, at least in like his media perception.
That I did not know.
I had no
We're idea. Already learning. Already
he's,
learning this.
He's not a joke over here like he was, say, in the like kind of mid-90s or even say like 10 years ago. He's kind of earned a lot of that favor back. But, you know, the moment Elton John was going to do Glasto, I went, this is going to immediately wipe the achievements of Paul's Glasto set list immediately off the slate. And Elton had a bigger crowd, and that's exactly what's
happened. Elton has more clout than Paul.
In the UK right now, 100%, yeah.
Where did Bowie rank on that scale?
I'm very post-death Bowie, so I don't really... I really wasn't that aware or knowledgeable of him at the
prefer
time.
Him dead? Is that what that means?
we're not talking about the off-air stuff again. But Bowie's got a lot of clout, yeah. I mean, Paul doesn't have the same respect as those artists do still. You know,
interesting. I didn't really realize that.
My best
I thought
friend
was on your, you know, your like £7 note or something. You don't have McCartney on there?
People respect the Beatles. They love the Beatles. They love his top 10 like solo hits with Wings and stuff like that. But it's still not where I'd like it to be. On the level of, say, like Queen, where you mention Queen and you respect that everything they did was amazing. It's unquestionable. And if you do question that, you're sent to some sort of work camp.
But that's so interesting because Queen is... Not like Queen. I think if you ask the average American to name 10 Queen songs, they would struggle to do that. You know,
I think so.
They know the few hits, like they know Bohemian Rhapsody and We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions, and like it might kind of end there. To someone who knows, like Don't Stop Me Now, is like, wow, you really know Queen.
I think some of this stuff is also coming from the fact that your dad are broken up, like that adds. A ton. You know, like, what would it mean if Freddie Mercury was still here doing Freddie shit all over the place?
Oh, there'd be a terrible collab with Paul at some point. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Ivory and Ivory. it's just Freddie. Like,
ivory
knows.
And more ivory.
Well, I was technically born in India.
If you were in a pub or a train car and Paul was there, would you leave him be? Or would you...
That would be a good story, would it, if I let him be? Even being arrested and carried away from him would be more preferable, I think.
Because there's always these pictures that come up away. That Paul is sort of alone coming out of his office and throwing a scarf over his shoulder, or he's sitting in first class in a train somewhere without security anywhere. I mean, it just looks like he's hanging out. It looks like you could find Paul if you want to.
I think the best thing to do would just be like to walk past him and go, release the Hot Hits and Cold Cuts compilation, and then just walk away and just don't like address him, just tell him something.
Yeah, I like that.
Or
I
think that's nice. Demand a photo. Ignore having an experience with him whatsoever, folks. If you ever see Paul McCartney, don't approach him and talk to him like he's a real human. Just ask for a photo. He really wants that.
Yeah. No one will believe you otherwise. So.
Just ask him to take your photo. Like, no, you don't have to be there.
Yeah. Paul McCartney took this photo.
Can you tell the Paul this?
And then you put it in his next book.
I mean, I'd probably say, oh, Paul, you wrote a song about me. I'm Sailor Sam from Birmingham. That'd be my way in. Yep. And then go, oh, did you just reference that band I was in with Denny Lane, you Birmingham scum? Get away from me. And then that'd be it. It'd be over. That'd be the entire interaction. I'd just be
but
really
that's good, too. That's good, too. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just grab him. Just hold him. Just keep holding him until... Yeah. I'm not going to hurt the guy, but I'm just... hold on.
If we had to rank the things you're talking about, I would put that one last. I'm not going to recommend that you or any listener should grab McCartney.
Maybe a tackle, just like really run at him.
I think maybe I would probably just go in for just a little tickle.
A tickle.
be right on my way.
Just a little touch. Yeah.
Or
you made Paul go tee-hee. That would be pretty good.
You sit across from him, across one from the aisle, down one, and then just a little.
Yeah.
Sam is doing a little kissy face. I know. Sam is a professional podcaster. You think he would know that this doesn't play that well on audio.
Hey, guys, look at this drawing I have.
Sam, in your hug scenario, I think if you were to go that route, which, again, I don't recommend, but if you were to, I think you go full Goodwill Hunting, and as you're grabbing him and not letting him go, you just go, it's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Broad Street wasn't your fault. Yeah. Broad Street, like, don't go there, man.
If he just starts crying.
First of all, I want to back up for one second, because Tommy, is that your Robin Williams doing a Boston impression?
Yeah.
Like, because it sounds
spot on.
Chicago guy or something. Like, I don't know what it was. Like a Chicago, New York mafia guy you just did? I don't know. First of all, we shouldn't be doing voices in front of Sam. Sam is the podcaster, the Beatles podcaster of a bazillion voices. So, Sam, you last joined us for Martha, My Dear, that you picked as a song.
My Time, My Dear. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't give you the luxury of picking this time around, but it's crazy to think about that because our podcast was definitely in its infancy then. I don't even know what number episode that was, but I was thinking back on it today, and we recorded on a Sunday, and I think we recorded for like 5 hours or something. I don't think that we knew how long we should talk to guests and all of that. I remember 17. Like I told my 17. So we were still figuring out the pod. And I came out of my podcasting suite to my wife and young child at the time. And I was like, I'm going to play it cool. It's like Sunday at 4 o'clock or something. And I know I just smelled like whiskey and shame. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe we went this long, but I had such a great time with it, and you've become sort of an eternal friend of our pod, so I really appreciate that you've come back on.
No, it's a pleasure to be here, because this is a combination of my two favorite things, which is pretending to have interesting hot takes on the Beatles and making the voices in my head stop.
Yeah. Is there a hot take left to have? Like, because if there is, I want to know about
it. Well, apparently we had one recently. I don't know if it's time to talk about that.
It's true.
Beatles for Sale is the best album.
Yeah, but that's going to happen. There is going to be that phase where there's some generation telling us this, I think. But Tommy stirred up a little bit of controversy in our last episode, or last released episode, I'm Looking Through You, where he maybe made the proposal that this was mostly a solo Paul song and possibly like a secret solo Paul song. Yeah. And we texted Sam about it, which must have been 3 a.m. his time.
I remember that.
Got actually. Right back to us.
Yeah. He got back to us very quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this podcast just about waking Sam up in his sleep? Is that like, are we just a podcast about making sure that Sam never gets a full 8 hours?
It's like some sort of Greek punishment. Like, I'm a god that's like transgressed. It's like, you will never have a night's sleep.
And you know what's funny as I think about this is we decided to message Sam at that time, knowing he would be in bed, and ask him this question. We also have renowned Beatles scholar Ken the Woe Womax number.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
Why didn't we text the Woe too? Like, we just skipped that step. And so I think next
time would it be the return of the Mac. Oh.
We're getting back. I mean, once that Mal book comes out, I absolutely hope we're talking.
We got to get the Woe back on here
to Womack again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, Tommy, you got a lot of grief about this.
The Scruffs
Ethan,
were not happy.
Ethan was not happy about this. Nope, he thought it was ludicrous. We got a lot of texts and tweets. And
I kind of love that.
Your hottest take in a while.
Yeah, well, I didn't really have, like, I didn't have evidence. I didn't have anything. So it makes sense why people were upset. But
Mark Lewison seems to have a little more evidence than you have. Yeah, but
whatever, Lewison. So what I think is I do still believe, based on the fact, this is just a gut feeling, based on the fact that we have all these takes that we've heard that sound wildly different than the final, and the final comes out and it's kind of messy. And then, yes, as people pointed out, there is a John Lennon vocal there for a moment. We also pointed that out in the episode.
Ethan said very specifically, he said the guitar playing was Lennon.
Sounds like Lennon. It sounds like a choppier Lennon. And you know what? I can say I hear that. Like, I hear what he's saying. It was just a gut feeling, like, that I said, we have evidence that Paul does this later on.
Trust your gut.
You know, that, and this could be the first time when Beatles recordings and personnel stuff is still a little more scattered. We're not at this, like, Sgt. Pepper White Album era where we have the minute by minute who does everything on every single take. You know, they're still coming out of the idea that, like, they record over takes. They don't hold on to every piece of tape. They don't, you know, I think the idea of keeping the history is muddier then. So, but I love that people got upset and got back to us and were like, you're an idiot. Awesome. Do that every episode, please. Dial in. Tell us.
You're doubling down tonight. I appreciate it. So. It's been a while, so I think it's been a Sam while. And so I feel like it's worth sort of, it's worth setting the bar here. Sam, do you even still like the Beatles since we spoke last?
They're a bit overrated, aren't they?
Sounds like you're more of an Elton John guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how do you feel about Queen? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this episode was a great excuse to go back to listen to Please, Please Me. I'm not going to fully reveal our hand just yet.
But I always love that we do that. Like, we're so afraid.
It's not in the title. Early, but it's in the title.
Who's tonight's guest? You know?
oh my gosh. But going back to this album was fun because I realized I actually don't listen to it all that often. It's one of those ones where I mostly take the hits and just put them on a playlist or a compilation. But going back, oh my God, this album is over in like 2 minutes and whizzes by. And it's got that perfect like age of innocence to it that is not present on any of those other albums. It's very virginal in that sense, and it's so engaging. though I feel like I've not been given the best of the material to work with today, lads. I'm just going to be honest.
Well, we knew that you on your own was bringing the best material, so I wasn't worried about the track for your...
Let me ask you a question. Is there a correlation between how much you like the guest and the quality of song that you assign them?
Oh, no.
Because we've gone from my time idea to the song we're talking about today. That is available in the title that you would have read by now.
You're feeling you're getting the C-class treatment? No.
Well, we
generally, second time around, we just don't give a guest a pick.
It's like, here was the song we had planned. You want
to
come
a lot of songs to get through.
You said yes. I mean, you can't blame us. Oh, for the fact that you said yes.
I feel like I'm being lectured by Jordan Peterson now. Like, you knew what you were doing when you signed up to the job. You know, for God's sake.
I just knew we were going to have fun no matter what song we talked about. So I was like, all right, this is great. You know, we got to get back to Please Please Me. And we are, you know.
I do want to get it
before we get too deep into the track. I want to get it over with because there's been some Beatles news this week, and us as a sort of scholarly podcast, like, we need to be on top of this, and people are coming to us for their news. So,
what's happened?
What's happened?
You know, maybe most people have already heard about it, but like, there's some new dick on this podcast scene, and he seems to think he knows what the Beatles are about. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
What's up with this new Paul McCartney podcast? He's biting your thing?
I think it's going to be a limited podcast
about Paul McCartney. Right? That is the headline.
I think it's 24 episodes.
Yep.
What?
I think it's part of this Malcolm Gladwell.
Is this specifically around the lyrics of his songs? Is that like the premise of the podcast?
I believe it's basically the tapes that the writer used to write the lyrics book, for the most part. The interviews from the lyrics book.
What the heck? Okay, that's news to me. I didn't know that. 24 episodes, to me...
I think it's 24 episodes.
That just screams 24 episodes of 11 minutes of content. I don't think they're going to be 3.5 hour Paul or nothing length things. I think the place to get all your Paul all of the time is still safe with me, folks.
We didn't. Did we say? I mean, we said Sam was a podcaster. Did we say the title of his podcast is Paul or Nothing? We may have.
I mean, I think I said it in the
episode. It's in the title. Again,
let's,
you know,
keep saying it. Let's keep saying it.
I mean, honestly, I'm joking.
If they don't know who I am, you know.
If you don't know who Sam Wiles is and you're listening to our podcast, you should be listening to the Paul or Nothing podcast and then come on back and hang out with Plotted Beatles. It's great. You know, it's good.
I'm definitely mentioned on this podcast more than, say, like,
Beatles?
Peter Brown. I'm mentioned on the podcast more than Peter Brown.
You are. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. We go to Sam Wiles way more than we go to Peter Brown. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Who else?
Just like... not more than Mal Evans. I wouldn't say I'm bigger than Mal Evans.
We're a big Mal Evans pod.
Post Get Back Mal Evans, like the stock on that motherfucker. Like, oh my god,
we were early on Mal Evans. And then once we saw him stalking around in Get Back, it was just, he's just an amazing character for that. So
I'm gonna try and short that stock at some point and make it
shorting the Mal Evans.
Here's the thing about this Paul McCartney podcast. I'm going to listen to it. I'm probably going to love it. The one thing that, like, when I'm talking about, like, the cynical part of me that comes out is hearing Paul talk about this and be like, wow, it was really nice to revisit Eleanor Rigby and really get back to it and be able to tell a story after I listened. I haven't really thought about Eleanor Rigby in all these years. Like, F you, buddy. You talk about these songs and these stories every chance you get. Like,
you mean to say, fuck you?
No, I don't do that.
On YouTube now.
But you know what I mean? Like, Paul McCartney tells these stories every opportunity he has, every late night show, every concert in between, and we love them. I don't deny that.
I hope is that
them.
We're going to find one more thing, and he's doing this long form, hanging out with the Paul Muldoon, the poet who is also part of the lyrics book, and I don't know. I'm going to give it a chance. You know,
I'm going to listen to it, and I'm telling you right now, I'm going to adore it. I'm going to think it's fantastic.
this is leading into, I have one more bit before we talk about the track tonight, but you know, the same thing about the new Beatles song that's coming out, and Jonathan from Ranking the Beatles had a great note where it's just like, why are we so quick to think the worst about Paul or about the Beatles, about how they're going to treat things?
And I just,
because it is Jonathan. Fun to have a hot take, and it's fun to come in and be like, oh, this is going to be awful, or what are you doing? Or like, these things are so precious, but I don't know. He's been a fine shepherd of the brand, and we should trust it, I suppose.
Yeah, but people said that with P.S. Love Me Do as well, and you know, where are they now? You know, let's not pretend like he's got a spotless track record here. Cynicism is well deserved at this point. maybe that's a personal thing. I don't know. I'm not a hater on Paul. I love everything he does. McCartney 3 and Egypt Station feature some of his best work. So it's not like he's waning in his old age. He's still as sharp as a tack. We all know this, but
I don't co-sign Egypt Station. I just want to make sure that I'm on the record. I don't know how everyone else feels about it, but I had a tougher time with Egypt Station, and I
no, I would say McCartney 3 was the best record since Chaos and Creation in the Backyard.
That's not unfair. I think.
Yeah.
So we had one more big thing this week in Beatles World News. Beatles World News. So everyone's been abuzz about the new AI song and what is it and is it Now and Then and all of that. But we had Penn Jillette. Do you guys know any of this stuff? Did you listen to it?
No.
Penn Jillette of amazing. Penn and Teller. Penn and Teller. Has like the breaking news. He's listened to the new track, and he leaked a little bit about it on his podcast.
It's over. It's done. It's
Can complete. We hear it?
Well, he didn't leak any of the music itself, but he got a tour of Abbey Road with Giles, and Giles played him the song. Everyone knows who Penn and Teller is. Penn is the one who talks in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Teller's not with us anymore, right? Or is Teller still here?
He's alive. What do you want about?
Teller's alive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, as a co-host, I wish you took a few more notes from Teller.
Yeah. So the song is complete, though?
The song is complete, and it's done. And sort of... So Penn just sort of has... He has a podcast. It's called Sunday School or something like that. And as a general aside, it's like 5 minutes in there. He talks about that he went to Abbey Road and got a tour and went into all of the studios from Giles. And then at the end of it, Giles plays him... the new Beatles song. He does not say that it's Now and Then. He says that it's a John Lennon tune that they had like some piano and some television noise in the background. They sent it to Peter Jackson. They came back from the Peter Jackson machine, and then they were able to do a bunch of stuff with it. The things that he says, I wrote some bullets out here. They made Paul sound younger. Paul sang new vocals, and they used the AI to make him sound younger.
Okay.
They add orchestra. They add horns. Apparently, there was a George guitar track laid down before George's death. And then this one I thought was very interesting.
I didn't know that.
There is a Because outtake of George, Paul, and John singing some sort of chord together. And they changed the key of that. And they're using it as backing vocals.
Oh, weird.
Giles asked Ringo to play drums. And at first, Ringo said that he wouldn't play drums. And then Giles was like, come on, man. Like, this is the last Beatles song. And Ringo said, I'll play them if I can play them at home, if I can record them at home. He didn't want to fly to EMI to Abbey Road. And that there's a track, an unknown track of unknown engagement. Penn doesn't say it's amazing. He doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't really give his critique of it. But that's, I think, more than we had
gave us the elements of it. Yeah. Interesting.
Wow. So my original thought as we were coming into this conversation and thinking about your quote from our friend Jonathan Priedis of Ranking the Beatles was a new phenomena is that we just can't let things die and be complete. You know, that's new. That's a last 20 years thing. Like to look at all the IP that they keep expanding on and keep adding to, something like Star Wars. We grew up in a generation where there were three movies. You know what I mean?
Guy. Can you believe it? The fucking Star Wars.
And then they keep going. You just can't let it
you can't let something die. And so like part of me is like, isn't it okay to just have a complete catalog and be done with it? But what you just told me feels like an earnest effort and makes me want to give it more of a chance than I did 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad my description of Penn talking about it.
Yeah.
What do you think is the percentage of chance that it is now and then?
I'd throw that to, I don't think, throw I don't that to think Sam.
I don't think that rules it out.
100%?
John and piano. Yeah. Like, that's what that song is, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing that they had with George back then. Like, why would George put something on something?
Because that was anthology era, right? That
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they were playing with this stuff at anthology. I think the technology was not there to separate this track as much. And they abandoned it at that point. I'm kind of speculating. But.
Wasn't there a fourth track that they worked on in the anthology era? It was like, it wasn't just Now and Then that was abandoned. There was like another one as well. Or am I getting, or is,
I don't know. I feel like that sounds that right, but I'm, you know.
I feel like there's another one that it possibly could be, but it's going to be Now and Then. We all know it's going to be Now and Then.
I think I remember hearing that George was not real psyched about that as a song.
Like, he ain't here, brother. He ain't here.
But yeah, I mean, it's psyched enough to lay a guitar part down, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Reluctantly, maybe.
Under pressure. And then the other thing that the Penn and Jillette said is they're Penn and Jillette. Just, who's Jillette?
Why did I just say? That's his last name, Penn.
That's
Jillette.
His name.
The new Penn Jillette Mach 3 Turbo.
Penn and Jillette and Teller, you know. That Giles is now using this same technology, but he's breaking apart the Red and Blue albums.
Whoa,
which I thought was
reissue time, baby.
That's probably what's coming out next. Now this technology, I guess they said like they took some of the Red album tracks and they send it out there and they get Ringo's. I think this was a quote, but they get Ringo's drums back like on five different tracks. Like they're really fully.
But why aren't they just doing that with Please Please Me?
I don't know.
I think they're working.
That's what I was wondering
there,
when
right?
they said, "Oh, why are they going to the Red Net and the Red and the Blue stuff?" But yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they were kind of working their way backwards, right? They did. I would expect Rubber Soul Super Deluxe to be next.
Yeah, I don't. There's I don't have all the answers, guys. I'm just on the internet. A lot.
Is this how Terminator started? It's like, you know, first Skynet separated Ringo's drums on the track, and then...
yeah, thank God you guys have never tried to make a Tommy AI. I mean, that would be the worst.
A Tommy soundboard would be better at your fingertips.
It's weird that the Tommy AI has never tried to become sentient. I don't know what it says about you.
It's impossible.
No, it just says, just kill me.
It's happy to
kill
just,
me. Kill me.
You fetch the butter.
Yeah. We're a very focused podcast, and we come together to discuss and talk about a single track. But Sam, you teased it a little bit earlier, and we hadn't talked that much because we focused on Martha, My Dear, Paul McCartney, White Album stuff last time we talked together. So you gave us a little tease about how you feel about the early Beatles stuff, and it sounds like you're happy to revisit, but it's not your day-to-day. Is that a fair assessment of...
Yeah, I'm
Beatles.
A Technicolor Beatles guy. Hard Day's Night does crack into the top five, but everything else is latter era stuff for me, 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, I've had an interesting sort of Beatles transformation, I think, over the last couple of years of doing the podcast. But how long has your show been going on now? You're on year five?
In the way that Kim Cattrall says she's still 39, I've been doing this podcast for 5 years now. I don't like to admit.
Our listeners are like huge Kim Cattrall fans, so we're getting a great crossover.
Well, she's not in the new one. She's not in the new Sex and the City, so not interested.
Are you personally a big Kim Cattrall guy?
Who doesn't love Mannequin?
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's all I have to say.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. What have you gone through as sort of a genesis of doing 5 years of Beatles podcasting?
I would have thought I'd be burnt out by now, honestly. But all it does is it kind of pressures me in a way that I may have not had before to get into the granular stuff and the weird and the esoteric and the stuff people don't normally do podcasts about. And you learn a lot that way, and that's what keeps me going, and that's the fun I have with the show. I do a Listen with Sam side series where I go back to albums that I've already done full episodes on, and I just listen to them live and kind of just riff without notes. And that's fun for me because I do get to kind of go back and reevaluate opinions I've had and see if I still feel a certain way about a certain song. And there are tracks that I really slagged off the first time I heard them, like Mumbo off Wildlife or Girls School, which is like a non-album Wing single. And then when you go back, very much in the way that when I went back to the songs of my youth that I was too cool for school for, like, say, a My Chemical Romance album or something like that. Like, oh, I can't listen to that. I'll be mocked. I have that kind of thing with Paul now. I've been listening to him for so long that I can go back to stuff that I didn't like before and appreciate in a kind of nostalgic way, I guess. In the way that I'm kind of nostalgic for, say, Old Brown Shoe, because that's the last Beatles song I heard until Now and Then, of course.
I love Old Brown Shoe, and it's not popular on this pod.
We know.
I never said I didn't like it.
I saw your face.
So, folks, I think we should be about ready to get into a song. I think we got a couple little things here to just take care of first. One is we are a podcast about the Beatles. We are also a podcast about drinking. This evening, I am having a little bit of a tequila paloma. As I begin the episode, and then I'm going to dip into the cooler where I have some Berkshire Brewing beers, the Dandelion Hazy IPA, and then I have the Long Trail Little Anomaly, along with, of course, the White Can, the Devil's Purse Handline Kolsch, the official beer of Blotto Beatles. Becker, you drinking anything of note this evening?
Yeah, I've had a weird day today. I made some cocktails. I made some paper planes.
You did.
It's a fantastic cocktail.
Yeah, and then you texted. You said there was an emergency. You couldn't access.
I had a problem today.
You couldn't access the beer fridge.
I'm doing a renovation, and downstairs I forgot to open my garage door, which is where I keep my beer in the basement. And I suddenly could not get to my beer fridge. And so I was able to make these paper planes, which is bourbon, Aperol and Amaro and some lemon, and they are fantastic. I love a bourbon cocktail. And I have one Devil's Purse Handline Kolsch in the fridge. And then I had a bottle of rosé, so I threw that in the freezer real quick as soon as I realized I couldn't get anything else. And drinking a little bit of wine tonight. Getting a little wine drunk.
Nice. Welcome. Scotty C, what do you got in the cups this evening?
I got a Founders All Day IPA that my buddy Toph left. This is just what was in my fridge.
Jeez,
he left two of these.
You're a beer drinker now.
It's Thursday. I got to work. So.
RB, you got anything going on?
Well, I started with gin and tonic, but that's gone.
Yep.
And my local spot got in Vermont got a vitamin C delivery.
Those are delicious.
Alone in a Drift, which is a delicious IPA, and then I've got some Green State Lager down here for when I crush that one.
All right,
crush it.
Sam Wiles across the pond. What do you got in your cups this evening?
Firstly, Ryan's just giving me traumatic flashbacks to my job. I work in a pub. I manage a pub here in the UK, and on a busy Friday or Saturday night, when there's a huge queue and someone just walks up to you and says, gin and tonic, please. When you've got 40 gins and 18 different tonics. And that.
Oh, do I need to be more specific?
Yeah.
I had a Hendrix gin and a Fever Tree tonic.
Double or single, sir. Double or single, sir. Thank you. I can crack on. Let's keep this bar moving, everyone. Come on.
You don't just give them well at that point? Like, they say gin and tonic, you give them a well gin?
No. I know exactly where you're coming from. But the one time you use your initiative, like all your teachers and parents told you, that's not the one I wanted. Oh, now it's wasted. Now you're in trouble.
Now you want to
every
Tanqueray
time,
or
every
Bombay,
time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being funny, but someone came up to me about a week ago and said, can I have a glass of wine? I'm not being awkward now, but that's just a bit.
But there is a part of me that wants to live in that version of the movies where a guy walks up to the bar and goes, give me a beer. I want that life a little bit.
No one's ever said, how you doing, Lloyd? And like rolled their eyebrows at me. No one's ever put a gold doubloon on the bar and gone, leave the bottle. You know, like none of the things.
I want to do that. Like I have always wanted to do that.
Yeah, or I've never slid a whiskey across the bar into someone's hand.
But this is the thing. You're the hero in this story. Like, I don't know. Don't make that dude. The patron is not the hero. Sam, you're the fucking hero. Have you not seen Cocktail? Did we not send Cocktail to you as a film?
Parents had it on video, never watched it.
Because they make love under the waterfall.
I thought when I got a job at a pub, my job was mostly going to be standing around wiping the same glass until someone walks in of interest.
Just giving some sage advice.
Yeah, and then you put the towel over your shoulder. Yeah. Say, what do you need, honey?
Yeah.
There's not a double-barreled shotgun underneath the bar, unfortunately. Like, you know, one that can turn and face the patron stood directly in front of the register.
I think you're working at the wrong place. I don't know. It sounds to me.
Yeah, you should come to bars in America. That's what happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. When I pour a shot here, it's 25 milliliters to the dot. Any more or less lawsuit.
Milliliters? State. Aren't you doing the English measurement? Came up with the measurement 25 system.
Mil? What? Yeah. 25 mil, that's a
we
shot.
Don't, we don't really know milliliters.
No.
Yeah, when I see American bartenders, they're just
4 ounces.
They just pour like that. They seem to have no repercussion for stock take or anything like that. It's
I'm saying we're in ounces. We're still using your old measure.
But what? But Sam, the question was, what are you drinking tonight?
Oh yeah. So my political views are as thus. No, in an official Bacardi brand glass. Because my parents collected a lot of these. They used to have Bacardi Fridays back when I was a kid.
Tell us more about those.
Oh, man. Good nights. Just sinking 2-3 bottles of it. Not a problem. Get up for work the next day. And they wouldn't. You wouldn't even tell. Proper British alcoholism. Classic, strong, stout. Not complaining, not like, oh, it's a crippling addiction, it's not good for society. Cracking on with life, being an alcoholic, that's what I like to see. And I'm carrying on such a tradition with Bacardi and Coke
good
tonight. Bacardi is literally in my veins before I even drunk this drink. It's, oh God, Mike's gone. I've had a few.
And I want to reiterate for the listener at home that Sam has taken a nap, or a 2.5 hour nap, woken up at midnight his time,
approaching 2 in the morning,
proceeded to drink with us. It's amazing. This is heroic.
This is how we do it in England.
This is Hall of Fame blood. They don't all wear capes,
people.
We've been flirting with some amazing guests and all that, and they're like, oh, I got to be in bed by 7. Yeah. You know, can you do the podcast earlier? And we've got Sam waking up to hang out with us.
If I had to go to work after this, I'd still do it because you crack on, you know. I mean, oh, were you drunk at work? Too much of a personal question for me, actually, if you ask me.
Well, let's make sure we finish this episode before that becomes a thing, Sam. Before we get into this week's track, we're going to ask Scotty to whisper into the listening audience's ears this week's mystery word, the word that if any of us say, we all have to stop the show and take a drink. Scotty, why don't you tell us about this week's magical mystery word?
Fantasy.
Without further ado, everybody, we are going to get into this week's track. Scotty, why don't you tell us about the pick for this week?
This week, we're going way back to the beginning. Please Please Me, the song There's a Place. And apparently when they did that marathon session, this was the one they came in right out the gate and wanted to, you know, they were super pumped about playing this tune. And obviously they did this whole session as like, you know, basically a live band, their live set, and cranked out these tunes around a mic. And this one has some really awesome like chord changes and harmonies. It's very, you know, it's much more complicated than I think I thought of when I think of the song originally, like just knowing it as a passing tune, like listening to it a lot deeper. And even lyrically, I was pretty impressed with the subject matter. for this era of Beatles. Very classic Beatles sounding in a lot of ways, though. Nothing too fancy here. Lennon, maybe a little more of the driving force around the writing on this, but that's debatable as always. generic in a lot of ways, but actually when you look into it a little deeper, I think it's there's more there.
Mm-hmm.
Want to listen?
What else is John doing in this tune?
Harmonica?
Oh yeah, playing a little saliva sitar.
Oh God.
Should we listen to it?
Yeah, all let's right. give it a listen. Let's we're gonna hit pause on the podcast. We're gonna play just a little bit of this tune for you, but we encourage you, the listening audience, to hit pause as well. Whether you're dropping a needle, going to your streaming service of choice, maybe you go to There's a Place from the Please Please Me record. We'll see you back here in, I think, less than 2 minutes, right? And it's All right. That's There's a Place from Please Please Me here on WBLTO. Sam, you did not pick the song. We invited you on to talk about this one, but I am interested in, like, what is your initial take of There's a Place or maybe of Please Please Me as a whole? We talked a little bit about that, but where are you on this one?
Please Please Me is not in my top five. Never has been, probably never will be. It's definitely that first stab at the formula, and you can see the seeds starting to sprout already. But this is definitely not the cream of the crop from the sessions. I love the irony of like them being like, yeah, you know, this is like the best song that we've got to like go in. Yeah, Paul, this is gonna be the big one that takes us to the top. And it's like, you know, George Martin heard it and went, gentlemen, you've not recorded your first number one. And I love how this was immediately abandoned after these sessions and was clearly too complicated for them to bother to ever really play live. It is kind of forgotten by the wider fandom and you know, music history as a whole. It's unfortunate, though. Like, it's not like it's given its fair shake. It is put in a difficult position of being sandwiched in between two of the very best tracks on the entire album.
Wait. It's sandwiched next to, I mean, if you enjoy open face sandwiches, it's close to very one.
You're saying a taste of honey. Is one
it
of the best,
is the best
please,
McCartney
please.
Vocal of that era. Oh, what are you on about?
Oh,
guys?
My goodness. I didn't know this.
Get the wax out your ears.
I need to lean in on my table and talk about this. Hold
a
on.
Taste of honey.
Oh, it's a great vocal.
Do, 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 do. Like, it's so catchy. It's so, you know, it's got that magic of like Besame Mucho from those like early sessions. And
yeah, that's, some, you could call it magic.
Okay, I can sense some hostility here. So I'm gonna tread
I think I'm not sure the pod is fully endorsing that, but that's interesting. That, you know.
Well, okay, the point I'm making still stands. It exists as a low point to be a low point before Twist and Shout. That's all it is. It's a sacrificial lamb. It's got a kind of eyes wide shut Illuminati, like you were always destined to be slaughtered because this more important star child needs to be born after you, which is Twist and Shout.
And the sequencing is really interesting to me, and something I'd like to talk about.
It suffers from that, for sure, you know?
Yeah.
But aren't we excited that the Beatles are excited about this? Like, isn't that something that, you know, when I sort of started preparing for this week's episode, I was like, oh, the fact that they came in with this and they thought like, oh, this is something. Maybe be
it's
like,
not, it's
oh,
not something.
Well, I think there's something to be said for like, the most recent song that you wrote is like the most like this. Yeah, that's yeah. probably bands, like, they came bands. In like the day before. Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, we got this new song. We can't wait to play. Like, you know, like.
And what's
like,
Paul McCartney's favorite solo album of his? Whatever his last record was. So definitely.
Yeah, there's an excitement around writing something new and wanting to get it out there, and I get it. And it turns out they had a bunch of other songs that were probably better.
And I love that they come in, but we haven't done enough of Please Please Me to really understand how many takes all of the stuff did. So I can't speak to this, but they did 10 takes of the song, which takes, seems like a lot for the fact that they did most of this album in
but that was still less than 20 minutes of work.
Yeah, a lot of them were false right. starts.
Fair, false, and most of it was George's.
There was a lot of George flubbing on the riff.
Yeah,
the bang, doo, 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 doo.
Which is mostly why they decided to deploy, Lennon on the tonsil trumpet. I think.
Tonsil trumpet. Oh my god! Yeah, the harmonica was definitely an overdub. So that was like almost meant to just kind of cover up the guitar part. Like you can barely hear. There is a guitar part that's in octaves. That dub that is the same line as that.
That's what George is playing.
And that's what George is playing. And it's the rhythm is slightly different than what gets overdubbed on the harmonica. It's the same notes, but it's just like where he comes in and like the articulation is just different. But it does sound like they're just trying to like, we'll just cover that up. We'll just pave that over.
Yeah.
Which really once
give
you
give it
pave
a little
over,
the little the you, Loogie Armstrong.
Yeah. Once you cover up that part, like there's not much left of what George contributes to this song.
Yeah.
It's busy work.
Musically, this song, to me, when I listen to it, there's not enough musically going on, but it feels like it goes on too long. I don't like that.
Less than 2 minutes is too long?
It's less than 2 minutes, but I'm like, oh, what did they do? Like, because there's no solo. Like, it is rushed in that way where it's like, it seems like they're excited about
it. They also only go to the middle eight once, which, like, the Beatles thing is to come back to that again, and they forego and they that here, which would be at an interminable 24 seconds.
As Scotty teased it in the upfront, but you know, everyone calls this a John tune, and Paul later takes a lot of credit for it because he says that he owned the West Side Story album, which is basically the inspiration for this. That There's a Place is sort of starting
the
from this
first
musical,
lyric of that song, right? What is the name of the tune?
Somewhere.
Thank you very much, Sam Wiles, Beatles scholar.
Guys, let's just take a quick kind of record scratch, please. Add that in post. This whole episode,
Scotty, make a note. Add that.
Yeah.
Scratch. Thank you.
Yeah. Rather fortunately for me, one of my latest obsessions has been West Side Story. I'm infatuated with this musical. Really? I love musicals far more than any straight man ever should admit on a podcast. But West Side Story is probably
Tommy's a big Hamilton guy. You guys should go to the theater.
Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda is a hack fraud. But we'll move on.
That's what real musical fans say.
From that. I was kind of upset that I was given this bargain basement scraping the bottom of the barrel song to talk about here, but then I was like, oh my god, there's a West Side Story connection.
Sam has thought that we've been saddled you. Yeah, hey man, we've got a slog, we still gotta do now, like another 150
don't you
episodes,
know who
dude.
I am oh let's give him a John song.
You still showed up.
Oh my goodness. Sam, I very sincerely want to say that we thought nothing about this selection on
what happened to the special relationship
I did ask Becker, do you want me to pick something special for Sam? And he said, nah, just give him that shitty song. Please.
I was like, are we doing the George Martin stuff off of
Yellow Submarine?
Look how disappointed. No, Sam, I would hate for you to think that we threw you anything bargain basement. We got to do these tracks, man.
I feel like, you know, I got the invite, and then I was like, Tommy, Goodfellas. I was like, yeah, I'm going out, Blood of Beatles. And then like, I walk in, and it's like, there's a place. Oh, no, bang! Right through the forehead. And then, like, they ring up, like, Ethan Alexander, like, they fucking whacked him.
They gave him there's a place. They gave him there's a place.
Stop, dude. Oh my goodness. I hope
McCartney goes one way, Lennon right. goes the other way. And George Harrison is going
to invite Sam back for another episode.
I do want to take a second, and you gave us the intro up front, but Scotty C, like, how do you feel about this tune?
Yeah, I mean, in my brief intro, I did say it seemed pretty generic, but, you know, after listening to it a little bit more and, like, learning it, I really grew to appreciate the chord changes and the timing, some of the chord changes. And also, I just love when Lennon and McCartney sing together and Lennon, stays in his spot that, you know, and McCartney soars above it and really, like, brings that beautiful togetherness.
Yeah. In that way, you can almost, it's almost hard to tell, like, which note is the lead in a lot of cases.
Yeah,
like,
on this tune for sure.
Paul brings like that. The melody is traded between them. Like, you can't always tell which one is
not
the
until
lead
John
part.
Goes high. And yeah, then you're like, oh, he's the lead, you know?
Well, that happens on the bridge, on the middle eight, right?
Exactly, where
And then McCartney jumps in an octave above and John drops down.
It's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's really
but
wild.
It's an interesting ride on that.
Yeah.
It
made me think a lot that I bet the Beatles went in here as young men and thought, this is what our music is going to be like. And it's going to be us writing songs together, and it's going to be us singing together. Mm-hmm. And they had no fucking idea what would happen for the next couple of years.
Oh,
the fact
of course.
That there would
How
be songs
they?
That they don't sing together. Like, there's Beatles mm-hmm. songs that you don't play on together. And, like, this song is so innocent in its way because it's like, oh, this is what it's going to mean. We're just going to harmonize. We're going to do a Motown thing. We're going to do this. Like, we are brothers. And, like, what it fragments into and is still called the Beatles, and that this is called the Beatles, is so amazingly disparate, you know?
Yeah. I love that take. That, like, you have no idea what the future brings. You have no idea. Yeah. Like, you
and
think
they're
that
here and they're
you
trying
don't
their
recognize.
Best. They're like, you know, here we are. We're going to get in. And, you know, John's and famously got this cold. First of all, I know John has the cold, but, like, what? Abbey Road doesn't have those good drugs at the time. Like, what do they give Taylor Swift when she can't sing? Like, what is Ed Sheeran when he's got the sniffles? Like, give John Lennon that shot in
the
butt or whatever.
They,
that's
they
just like,
him,
yeah, just like get him over this cold. But I don't think it exists yet. I don't know.
Is that really a thing? I know, like, sports guys can take like a shot.
Vitamin
like,
oh,
D.
Come on. When Taylor
shot.
Swift is like, I'm not feeling great today, and she's sold out three nights at whatever gigantic stadium, like, someone shoots her full of something, and she's just like, I got to go dance around.
I got a lot of thoughts about that.
Some kind of
gear. you were cut to that shot from The Wolf of Wall Street, that close-up of Matthew Connelly. This thing's called cocaine. Taylor Swift, how many times a day do you masturbate?
Yeah. These magic, like, oh, Michael Jackson has to dance tonight drugs? Like, those, Prince has to get on a flight tonight.
Yeah, they were just called poppers at that time, right? If that's all the Beatles were doing was like small time amphetamines to like keep
George
them going,
Martin was not he was not tuned in. He was like coming from like recording like a fucking comedy album or something. And it was like, oh, all right, I guess so.
You know, McCartney's when McCartney first heard the word fentanyl, he tried to like rhyme it with like, you know, I meant nil or something. Like, he definitely tried to like work, like, you know, he's at the piano like fentanyl, boom, G minor, fentanyl, A minor, like just trying to figure it out, you know. COVID-19.
I credit McCartney 3 for not saying COVID-19, you know, or giving us any of that. That's superior. If Billy Joel had made Billy Joel 3,
It would rhyme.
Long time ago COVID. When we wore masks. Mask.
Billy Joel never wore a mask, I suspect. But there's a big thing here, and critics sort of call this song a little bit underrated, and they go back and compare it to a lot of sentiment-wise of Beach Boys' In My Room. And there's a lot
I thought
of
this,
folks.
And I actually wrote, I thought I was clever in comparing these two songs until I did research.
Yeah, no, like, because everyone it compares
was,
it.
It was my immediate thought, though. Like, oh my God, there is like the introspection, all this stuff. And I thought I was like carving new ground, and then went to Wikipedia and was like, oh, apparently everyone's done this. Yeah. Like, whatever.
And then in my room wise, I put Weezer in the Garage. I put those songs together these people being like, oh, this is my safe space. These songs are the same sentiment, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for the early 60s, like, this, if we're comparing In My Room specifically, I love the Weezer thing, bringing that
in My Room is better. And people are saying that it's not, but In My Room is a better song. No, In My Room is better than this song.
I think so too, probably. But this idea of like every pop band is writing love songs, and this is not really a love song. Like, yeah. There is one stanza that has one verse, like, it has
they say love once, but it's like a quote from someone else, basically.
Yeah.
You know?
And you've got the, like, I think of you and the things you do go around my head, the things you said, like, I love only you. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines are the only lines that have anything to do with something, someone else. This is a really, like, it does kind of harken forward to the introspective John that we get much later, right? Like, that this, like, I'm
is
so
this
tired
the first
I'm only sleeping
Beatles song,
you know,
period.
Maybe
is it because we would like to say help, well, we'd like to say nowhere man's not about
love is
like,
serious is this... I'm not saying love isn't serious, right? Love is very serious,
but
the
not these tossed offy like
writing
now
are very hold... pop. I want to hold your hand, sort of like sweet, saccharine sort of thing. This isn't saccharine, I think, is the difference. But then you're looking at like, well, they also have a song called Misery. Right? Like, they've got Chains. They've got like kind of a sad record in a lot of ways. And so I don't know what to make of that. But I did look at dates. So Beatles record this February 11th of 63. It's released March 22nd of 63. First of all, wild how the record industry worked. You know, you're talking about literally 5 weeks later, you've got an LP out after the day you've recorded the song, mixed, mastered, pressed in the public sense.
Yeah, then get this out.
So yeah, February, March 63 is what we're looking at. Beach Boys, again, please me, first released March of 63. Beach Boys record In My Room June of 63. So 3 months later, after Please Please Me is released, and then it's released 4 months after that is when In My Room is released. Beatlemania hasn't hit the US yet, so I don't know how conscious like Brian Wilson is of this, like, do we think he heard it? I have no idea.
I don't think it's a direct reaction. I think it's probably just like, this is a popular sentiment, you know? And I want to be like, oh, the Beatles were cerebral, as Paul says it later. And I'm like, oh, right. You want to go into lyrics and you're like, okay, so there's a place and you're like, all right, this is cool. You know, where I can go. All right. You know, when I feel low, when I feel blue, I'm like, oh, all right, cool. You're like, you're keeping this mystique. And he's like, and it's my mind. And I'm like, all right, man, we get it. Like, it is your mind. Like, you don't have to tell us, you know, like keep a little bit of like magic to it, you know, like, oh, like you just fucking blew it. You know, I'm like, oh, where's it go? You know, like, because I think In My Room and In the Garage, like they have this mystique or whatever. And it's not here. Like the maturity of writing lyrics is just like, it's in my mind, guys. Like, it's I'm talking about. It's
all in my mind.
My mind is a garage.
guys, can we just stop doing this religiosity to Beatles songs of the early period? You know, it's all like, right. Oh, well, in the New Testament, they talk about this thing that was prophesied in the Old Testament. See how they connect.
I like that a lot. I like that
a lot. There's a place it's totally connected to tomorrow. Suck my fucking balls. They're not. Time, rhyme, yeah. Place. Chase, you know, words, they will just rhyme, you know, they're just there in the studio where I can go, okay, Paul, what's on? When I feel low, that'll do. Like, that is, that'll do. You know, like when you're buying a Valentine's Day present for a girl that you love, but not a lot. Like, that will do. That's what these lyrics are. It's nothing. There's nothing deep to like sink into here. This is John before he was interesting, fundamentally. And I think a lot of this is just backtracking to make the story fit a little more. It'd be like saying, oh, by the way, if you rearrange the letters of Twist and Shout, it spells Eleanor Rigby. Like, let's just
wait a minute. Well, I don't think that's correct. Hold on.
I do think
do the research, my friend. Do the research.
I do think that something doesn't have to be, something can be beautiful and well done,
mm-hmm.
even if it isn't thought through well. Like a child says things that's elementary, but it could be like, you know, it, so I agree with you also, but I do think that you can say simple things, it's in my mind, but like if it or whatever, you know, but it can bring something powerful, even if it's not like scholarly or you know, poetic or some shit. Like, simple things are beautiful, you know, simple thoughts are beautiful. And that's just my opinion, maybe, but
like, you know, don't be like John and be like, oh, this song was actually about Yoko, even though I hadn't met her for 20 years, you know.
No, but I do think there's to piggyback on what Scotty's saying, like, there's something to be said for the fact that they jumped into the studio and said, we're going to do this one first. They were excited about it. They were pumped on it. And I do believe the chords, right, RB, I think, are very similar to Please Please Me.
It's
super similar progression.
It's a kind of a 1-4-5 in the verse. It goes to minor for a minute for the middle section. It's a well-structured song. There's some actually kind of interesting things with the phrase lengths because of the way they do those stop time things. And then there's like the, you know, the little vocal lead into the next bit,
right?
Where but, it's it feels great, a little choppy like in section and
tune, right?
Yeah, it's
but
it's,
they've tread on some of this musical ground before. I think is what I'm like. It's in other songs on this record, so that in my mind isn't necessarily what excited them to walk in and say this is the first one we're doing. What excited them was I think the idea that like John's talking about a little something different here. Or if you ask Paul and John are talking about a little something different here, right? Like that it is more introspective. It isn't just my girl broke up with me or I found a new girl. Yeah. This is life gets me down. And when it gets me down, there's a place I go. And that's where I get away from the things that bring me sorrow. That's a wildly different topic than these other songs.
So we've talked about the lyrics, we've talked about the music a little bit, but I mean, I think we can, and piggybacking on Sam's point from many minutes ago, is that like musically, this song is probably not super interesting, right? Like we're kind of trying to make a thing of it.
Yeah.
Paul's bass playing is fine for it to be bass playing while he's singing, and George doesn't quite bleed through. There isn't like
a... be covered up with a harmonica.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And when you say harmonica, you mean like a mucus melodica?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just wanted
ew.
To
oh make my sure God.
We were clear about that.
Isn't this just one of the poster childs for the shit early Beatles era music? I mean, this is in company with songs like Yes It Is, Bad Boy, Not a Second Time, Thank You Girl, Little Child, Devil in Her Heart. You know, these are... This is just dredge stuff that gets us to the middle era. Like, this is filler. This is Michael Jackson's filler, if you will. You know, this embodies...
What's your favorite earliest Beatles song?
Favorite earliest Beatles song? Probably George's version of Take Good Care of My Baby, if we're getting really early. I'll Follow the Sun. There we go. That's a nice smarmy answer for you.
great song.
I mean, Hard Day's Night is in my top three. Okay. You know, I do love early Beatles, but there is so much of their B-side material and album track material of this era that is revered in a way that really is unwarranted, as far as I'm concerned. And there's a lot of latter era stuff that is as well. I'm not going to deny that. But I mean, we've got that grinding low scratch bow wow wow guitar that evokes nothing. George is just doing, I believe the word interminable has already been used this podcast, but that was the one I've got written in my notes here. It certainly feels like that. Harmonies that are not as polished as everyone says they are.
Oh, you don't think so?
It sounds quite thrown together. It sounds like they're just...
The harmonies on this song sound thrown together, do you?
Yeah, this just sounds like stuff that they've heard before work on other records, and they've appropriated it for themselves.
Have you heard the AI isolated track at all? Because I think it did tell me something.
Have you heard I Want a Guy by the Marvelettes?
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying...
Yeah, it's... yeah, okay, so yeah.
You
yeah.
know, the
counterpoint!
I know you're like, at some point it sounds like the Beatles are like, oh, we should do what we know how to do, you know, like this is that magic of Paul and John, you know, that they're just like, oh, all right, we're gonna put this together. And all right, I think we did we do it,
get to the
Sam,
end here?
Did we do it? You feel like you did it?
You think it's time to
last time we wrapped up Martha My Dear, we had gone 4 hours or so, and you showed up, you showed us a piece of paper that still looked like we were not even close to getting all of your notes in.
When was the last time Sam saw our list?
Oh, yeah.
Sam chiming in on our list is going to be...
This is going to be great.
Yeah, this is going to be good. So
let's run Sam down. Let's run Sam down the top 10 because he hasn't been here since episode 17.
We want to just do the top 10 to start, and then we'll get his take. All right, I like this. So Sam, currently at number one is I'm the Walrus. We've got Happiness is a Warm Gun at number two. We've got Here Comes the Sun at number three. In My Life at number four. I Want You, She's So Heavy, number five. Number six is Come Together. Number seven, I'm So Tired. Number eight, Let It Be. Number nine, The Ballad of John and Yoko. Number 10, Tomorrow Never Knows. How do you feel about that as a top 10?
How we doing?
No comment.
He's still working it out. You know, Sam, if I go back, I think about the first time we chatted and sort of where I was at on my Beatles journey, and you were telling us that how you felt about the podcast expanding. I started my first year or two about not being super pro Paul. And
clearly.
And now 3 years in, you have one Paul McCartney song in the top 10.
But we're getting there. Like, some of my favorite Pauls are still ahead, you know, but your chatting about Paul, all of this has really like influenced me a ton that I had been overlooking, not even Beatles work wise, but I had been really overlooking what was going on with Paul after the Beatles, you know.
I haven't seen this much buy ass since my stint in the red light district in Amsterdam, but this is just... It's got to be. So, is this some sort of like Vox parody list that you put together?
Let me ask you a couple questions. We're only on episode 77 or 67.
Let me ask
68.
You a couple questions.
The only Paul McCartney song in here is a boring one as well.
Wait, what is?
Wait, you don't like Two of Us?
No, but let it be number 8. That's not even like one of Paul's top 10.
All right, so let's just look at our next Paul songs, and what do you think should have inched into the top 10? So we've got Two of Us, and then we've got She's Leaving Home. Coming down a few, we've got Paperback Writer, we've got Fixing a Hole, we've got For No One, we've got Mother Nature's Son,
we're in the Paul wall,
and then we've got the Magical Mystery Tour, and I'm around 25 right now. So do any of those, should they have cracked the top 10, those tunes specifically?
For No One should be in the top 10, 100%.
I could see that.
Yeah. That's one of McCartney's most precise, most evocative lyrics. I like both those words.
Yeah.
You saying precise and evocative sells that track for me.
You should have seen
those.
I mean, my memory is I was at a party. And there was a girl who didn't like me at that party. She was the host of that party, actually.
First of all, impossible.
You're
a handsome gentleman.
Shout out to Becky, who's getting married this year, actually. And there was a guy there with me called Matt.
It won't
O'Connor.
Work out. She'll come back.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And Matt was the tallest man I've ever known. He was a giant man. He was he was as tall as he was handsome. He really was. And we were both very upset that night because we'd both been rejected and dejected and everything ected. And we were sat there drinking, much as I was now, with a Blotto Beatles cozy, drinking my troubles away. And I put on For No One. And then as I was playing it, I looked around and I realized there was about 4 or 5 other lads who were very much like us two. Just a room of about 18 of us just crying at For No One because we were all at that exact point, you know. And in her eyes, you see nothing. All of us were seeing nothing that night, let me tell you that.
Sam, I love this take. And as we approach our anniversary, we're about to get into Blotto Vetoes territory, where we get to make a pitch for a song that should be pushed up or down on the list to our compatriots here. And that, I like this pick for now. Yeah. I like this a lot.
Really, what's swinging. Too high? I mean, I like how high Happiness Is a Warm Gun is. That's fun.
Thank you. Thank
you. I'm the Walrus, bit of a basic bitch pick. For saying it,
we have some great listeners.
You like I'm the Walrus, do you? Oh, you like oxygen and bacon, do you?
Basic bitch pick is
great. I'm So Tired is a cool one.
It's still
one.
A fucking great song.
Have you done Girl yet? In terms of
no, we have not.
Oh, okay. I'll be interested to see where Girl appears on this list.
I'm not going to say it's a top 10 for me.
Oh my god, that song is sexy. I love that song.
Oh my
god. All right. Okay. Ooh, I like this. Yeah, a little consternation here.
I like these takes, but what's important about tonight is that we got to take this song.
Oh yeah.
We got to put it in the list.
Slap it back up there.
So you heard the top 10. We're going to run down just.
Give us some a scroll down here, boys.
Yeah, here's just a few highlights for you.
Show so Sam the goods. Like, you know,
Lady Madonna 29. Oh,
we did end by
for the benefit of Mr. Coyte. That is too low as well.
We talked about Magical Mystery Tour. That's 25. Currently at 50, we got You Can't Do That from A Hard Day's Night. And then as we're coming down closer to the end at 63, of course.
What do you have there?
Right before this, we've got A Taste of Honey.
Before that, there's Do You Want to Know a Secret as well? Another amazing song. Oh, my God.
And then last and currently least, we're talking
Tommy,
about Tommy,
what are you talking about?
We're talking about Boys. So if we look at some Please Please Me tunes here.
We have a block of them at the bottom.
Early Beatles have not really cracked our top.
Yeah, so we've got Do You Want to Know a Secret at 62. We've got Taste of Honey at 63.
Baby It's You earliest one around there.
Where's that?
57
or so.
57, Baby It's You. That's the earliest Please Please Me right now. Yeah, that is currently the earliest
Please
Please Me. Look at where we're hanging out with Please Please Me. And give us your opening bit on this one.
Yeah, Sam, what do you think?
I mean, like Monica Lewinsky, this is going down. This is going way down. and considering where you put everything else.
How old are you? Like these topical commentary.
Is that Dennis Miller?
I've got jokes about Roosevelt
and I am out of here.
Like O.J. Simpson said, you know.
And Quaker Saturday. We've got Al Jolson.
Yeah. Sam, better or worse than Baby It's You? It's better, right?
No.
What?
Baby, sha la 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 is better than anything in this track. That alone.
I'm backing that up. I agree with that.
That's memorable, at least. I mean, guys, I'll tell you how forgettable this song is. I put on Please Please Me twice today, and the first time I put it on, I was just writing notes and preparing for this episode with due diligence, like one does, and. Before I knew it, I was listening to Twist and Shout. I was like, hang on a second. The song before Twist and Shout is the one I'm meant to be talking about for 3 hours tonight. Didn't hear it.
It slipped on by.
It was the unknown soldier of this album. It completely skipped by. Didn't hear it. It's at the bottom.
Maybe it's you.
We don't need to do a song and dance here, gents. It's at the bottom.
Better or worse than Boys?
Worse.
I think so too. I do too. I agree.
This is the only thing worse than Boys.
Boys is fun. This is pretending to be, like Sam said, this is pretending to be like a grown-up cerebral song, and it's not quite there yet.
Listen, I've thought we've ranked Boys too low for a minute now. Like, we had a great episode talking about Boys, and then our guest was like, "Yeah, it's the worst Beatles song," and we all just agreed with it.
I mean, he was good.
The worst. Is better. Calm down. Oh my god.
This I mean, the worst for than, this where we were. You know, we're
this is better than Little Child.
Have we talked about Little Child yet? We did an episode about Little Child.
It's 64 exactly. It's 64 right now.
Why does everyone hate Babies in Black but me? You can all fuck off. I hate this show.
So how do you? I mean, we heard you like the Paul Vocal take of A Taste of Honey, but where do you think this? Where do you think this?
Hey, give us your take on this. Taste of Honey versus Taste of Honey.
A Taste of Honey is an all-time low-key classic of Please Please Me, and this is forgettable dretch that could have been included on with the Beatles, as far as I'm concerned.
This could have inspired Brian Wilson's entire career. This song, like that, to just hang out in this right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so
it's responsible for his.
It's responsible for torturing a schizophrenic man for 60 years. I hope you're happy with yourself, McCartney and Lennon. I hope you're happy.
See what you did, Paul.
All right,
I did it.
I'm trying to figure out my placement. So Sam is saying last. I'm trying to figure out my counter here because I do not believe this is last.
I'm willing to go last. So Scotty, seem
and
yeah,
throw it on the board.
Fine.
You're fine with last?
Scotty, see,
I don't
like,
know. What am I going to argue
I've
here?
I've got work.
It's hard in the a coup.
What's the
it?
Point oh, of arguing God. All this like garbage right,
hold
at the
on,
bottom?
Hold on, don't you know?
Yeah,
don't disgrace the podcast.
Don't,
cross the,
don't break the fourth wall.
No, all right, I'm fine with that. I don't really have an argument. So, Boys is more fun. I think this song has
Boys
more.
Boys is fun. All right. I'm going to play both these songs for you. What are you going to dance to? You're going to dance to Boys.
Well, I'm going to dance to Boys, but my pitch is put it in between All Together Now and Wild Honey Pie. This would be the new 61. That would be my pitch.
Do
RB, where are you?
So you think it should be between All Together Now, which I think is already ranked too high.
And Wild Honey Pie. So I think it's better than All Together Now and not as good as Wild Honey Pie. And I mostly picked that because I know you hate All Together Now.
I know.
And I know you'll be on my side.
You're really tearing me here because I think Do You Want to Know a Secret is a more memorable song on this record than
You might be right about that. I'd be willing to to acquiesce. How do you feel about it for A Taste of Honey?
Honestly, I think A Taste of Honey is a more memorable song than this song.
All right, so what about Little Child?
I would put it probably above Little Child.
All right, I could live with that. So RB and I are saying 64. We got a couple people saying the new bottom. Who's making the
gotta
case?
He's got to make the decision.
Yeah, it's going to be 66, isn't it? It's going to be 66.
We got five people here. Scotty C.
Yeah.
Slot it.
I'm up with the higher one personally, but
bank it and rank it.
If you guys want to split it in the middle and we can 66 it, we could do that too.
Make it 65. See if I give a fuck.
Scotty said he likes the higher one, so this is the new number 64. Oh, is there's a place. So we got a Please Please Me wall here. We got three Please Please Me songs
at the bottom.
That's near the bottom. Interesting.
We're going to have to play.
I stand by that for the most part.
64. They called my bluff. Oh, my God. Oh.
Before we wrap up, Sam, I hate the sentiment that we were recording today and you thought that for one second we were throwing you any sort of garbage, because so I just knew that we could make content from hanging out tonight. So I want you to tell us what the next Paul track you would come onto our pod for.
What do you want to talk about?
What's one more that you would like to say? I'd like to talk about the song Drunkenly Together. And it may take another year to get to.
But you would like to have with us.
Give us your pick, because I want to give it to you.
Yeah, nothing off the medley. Yeah.
Have you done All My Loving Yet?
Yeah, that was the first song we did.
That was the very first song.
And I think it's ranked way too low, personally. But
yes. Oh my gosh. Put on the spot now. Pick a good Paul song that's interesting, but also
that you want to be
clever.
Cemented down in our legacy.
Or we just do like an extra song on Monkberry Moon Delight, which I think we would all love to.
Oh, don't tickle my balls like that, mate.
I'll get drunk and talk about a one-off Paul song anytime.
There's got to be a cocktail for Monkberry Moon Delight out there, right?
Yeah,
I'm like, I should that.
Oh, yeah. You got to find the monk berries first. Though. I mean, it's very hard. It's very seasonal.
Yeah. There's not a lot of juice in those monk berries.
Yeah. I felt very Hannibal Lecter-ish. at the very taste of a bit of monk berry moon delight. I'm on my nose there. Oh, my gosh. A decent Paul song. You've done I'll Follow the Sun. I love that tune.
Yeah.
Have you done Another Girl?
No, we have not.
Oh, I'd love to see where that fits in your ranking more than anything. I think
we're gonna put
more...
your name next to another.
I got it. It's written down.
Okay.
Love it.
I'd show it to you, but it's other people's names down here that these guys.
And if you assign me another one of these D-list songs again,
I hate that you thought that. It bothers me when I sent you that song. It was really just like, I'm just happy that we're hanging out. So
we're just gonna have a fun night.
Sam, do you want to tell anyone else about what they should do with you? You want them to listen to your show?
Report any sightings.
DM you directly. Paul sightings, because you want to show up and touch him. I don't think people should do that.
No, I mean, any sightings of me. Walls.
You may have seen Sam recently talking on the BBC about a local flood.
One inch flood.
It was certainly biblical. Most things about me are known to be one inch, as most people know quite commonly. I'm the host of Paul or Nothing, a podcast that the host of this podcast neglected to mention because they don't know how to host a podcast.
I'm talking.
If you don't want to interrupt me, I'm the guest. I can interrupt you or the host. Be a bit professional here, guys. Let me say my piece. Thank you. This has been great appearing on another episode of the Egg Pod, or whichever substandard podcast this is.
Wow.
Egg Pod wouldn't have you on.
They won't, because they are afraid. They are afraid of what I will say and affect their lucrative advertising contracts. No, I would never do that to them. This has been a pleasure as always. I love coming on this show. I've been wanting to come back on for the longest time, and my greatest regret is falling asleep for one of my other opportunities to converse with you wonderful fellows. You've also been on Paul or Nothing as well for a very strange episode where I combined two podcasts I did into one. That was very interesting. I'm tempted to do it again, though I'd rather do something a little more interesting, like maybe something like Beatles compilation albums or a film or anything.
Invite us on anything, man. We would love to be there.
Let's do Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides and talk about that McCartney cameo.
I've never seen
before. Oh, my gosh. Well,
we could riff on that for a long, long time.
Well, we're going to do an entire Pirates of the Caribbean podcast sub-series available only to certain tiered Patreon people.
Oh my goodness.
I hope you're all ready, folks. We'll also go into the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing as well. But yeah, I host Paul on a Thing. It's a bit of a slightly less serious Paul McCartney podcast where I go through his entire life, history, every album, film, TV show, project, side thing he's ever done, with at least a little bit of wit and humor, hopefully, though probably not. But if you like this show, you'll probably like me at Paul or Nothing. Guys, thanks for having me on. This has been
thank you, sir.
Does
thank
Paul McCartney ever play the harmonica?
Whoa,
hopefully I've never not. Seen him play the harmonica.
Yeah, why not?
What? I'm not familiar with that term.
Hang on. Oh, you knew, has he ever honked on a snort and Norton?
Oh, okay.
I know.
For real, he's never. I'm sure he knows how to.
He can do anything.
Well, while we research that,
there's harmonica in Say, Say, Say. That's probably Paul.
That's Paul.
I mean. Do you imagine Jacko on the old mouth sacks? I don't know.
Thanks again for listening. This was another episode of Blotto Beatles. We really appreciate you coming around. Did we hit this magical mystery
word? Yeah, what happened tonight?
Not, Scotty. No magical mystery what was word. The magical mystery word?
Yeah, trying to remember what it was. I think it was
professional podcasting.
I think it was fantasy.
Oh, fantasy. We never got into the idea of fantasy.
Well, we kind of started to, but we had to edit that out.
You go into the world, you go into another world, it's a fantasy life. I understand what you were going with, and I am Tommy, and that was Becker. We are your co-hosts. This podcast is produced, edited, magically assembled by our executive producer. That's Scotty C. On the ones and twos, we have additional musical supervision and assistance from our dear friend and yours. That's RB. That B always stands for Beatles. Our guest, we had a guest. That was Sam Wiles from the Paul or Nothing podcast.
So
he just told you where to find him on that. And you should, if you're listening to Blotto Beatles and you haven't heard Paul or Nothing, you should be going there first. So we're also on the socials. You can hit us up at Blotto Beatles. You can go to blottobeatles.com for a bunch of links to find some merch, some shirts. You can drunk dial us there. Becker, I put out a line for a drunk dial right before this episode. We didn't get any messages this evening?
I don't think so. I didn't see anything come through.
All right. That's too bad. You should be drunk dialing us during these episodes. We will play your message. We could react to them. It would be fantastic. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on your podcast app of choice. And most importantly, please remember, this show is performed by absolute professionals. We encourage you to enjoy Blotto Beatles responsibly. No one driving nowhere tonight. Am I right, folks?
Absolutely.
Not going anywhere. And Sam doesn't even... They drive on the wrong side of the road, period.
They would say the right side, but it's left, so it makes no sense to me. RB, you always want to say something at the end of this episode about sending us things, right?
Oh, yeah. Send us pants, send us snacks, send us pockets full of snacks.
That's right. Without further ado, I only have three words for you. These people only have three words for you before we sing a marvelous karaoke rendition of the song. And those three words, my friends, are...
Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Where I can't